Danny Addict.
Happy birthday!
I want to thank my higher power for another day. And I want to welcome anybody that's new to Narcotics Anonymous. If you're high, welcome. Please keep coming. You don't have to use. I want to thank Rosetta K and Eric J and Dan from Nova for believing in me, the Chesapeake and Potomac Region Programming Committee. It's an honor and a privilege to share or do anything for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not here to sell CDs or become famous. I drove 4.5 hours to be a part of something, not to be the something. The name of the program is called Narcotics Anonymous. It's the spiritual foundation of our program is not even in a step. It's in the 12th tradition. It says that anonymity is the spiritual foundation, you know, and it reminds me of humility, you know. It's like for an addict, humility is just as important as food and water is to staying alive. And you need to always be mindful of, like, what is your place in Narcotics Anonymous? What is your role? What is your assignment? And the fact of the matter is some days my disease wants me to be everything to everybody. And what I understand is that I have a particular position and place. You know, there's this guy from Rhode Island, Sean G., and he always talks about being a grain of sand on a worldwide beach, you know. And what I have to understand is that, like a beach, a grain of sand by itself can't do anything. But a bunch of grains of sand could hold back the power of the entire ocean. So as long as I just try to be that grain of sand and realize that just you were asked to share today, and that I was once that person that wanted so badly to be speaking, to realize that once I got up here that, you know, this is just where I'm at today. You know, I leave here and, like, you know, I'm at work. People don't be like, oh, man, you did an awesome job sharing in Maryland. No, my boss is like, so what's up with that project that you're working on? So, you know, my topic is the benefits of a home group. And I looked up the word home. Home is a place where one lives. Residence, a structure or unit for domestic living, a place of origin, an institution where people are cared for. You know, and, you know, I think about, like, the home groups that I've had since I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I don't, look, it's deep, man. Like, today's my birthday. I'm 33 years old today, right? Thank you. How did you do it? I lived. I don't know. But no, my mom called me on the way down here. And she's like, are you going to tell them that it's your birthday? And I'm like, no, like my clean date is actually more, like, feels more important than my birthday. And but today is my birthday. I'm speaking. And Sunday, my home group is celebrating 2 years of carrying the message. You know, we're having our anniversary Thursday. It's at 8 o'clock in Passaic, New Jersey, 10 St. Francis Way. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, we're going to have 2 speakers, group history, clean time countdown, food. Anyway, you know, I was thinking about, like, I remember, like, early in recovery, like, people talking about sponsorship and, like, having multiple sponsors and how they talked about, like, they got something from every one of their sponsors. And, like, I moved on from home groups for different reasons. You know, but during my time there, I definitely learned something. So I kind of, like, want to talk about, like, what I got from each home group. And then, like, talk about, like, the home group I have now, in the 2 years I've been there, has made the most impact on my recovery. Like, I've been clean almost 8.5 years. And, like, in the last 2 years, even the last year, like, I experienced, like, a lot of growth as a direct result of, like, having this particular home group. Hey, Quadia. And, you know, like, my first home group was in an area that doesn't exist anymore. Like, the entire area folded. You know, like, the way the area started was based out of a resentment. Big surprise. Somebody had a coffee pot and a resentment. They wanted to start an area. So they went, they rented this clubhouse out, and they started a bunch of meetings. It was called the United Area of Narcotics Anonymous. It was at tradition violations left and right. The name of the facility where they had meetings was called the Clean Club. And they had meetings there every single night. And there really wasn't group autonomy. There really wasn't a seventh tradition. There were, like, people gambling there and all kinds of, like, stuff going on. And, like, I went to a rehab in Paterson, New Jersey, and, like, a bunch of people from the facility used to walk over there because there was really pretty girls there. Not because there was good recovery or, like, you know. So they went there to go get their paper signed. So we're going to this place where there are meetings, and, like, this is where I got my first home group. So my first experience in Narcotics Anonymous service was I got to see how not to follow the traditions. You know, like I saw how like groups were not fully self-supporting. And there are like some people in the room right now that know what I'm talking about because they were there and they experienced it. Like how, like if a group couldn't make rent, like other groups in the ASC would kick in for those other groups. And after a while, like each group should be fully self-supporting. Like we other groups in an area come together to help facilitate the primary focus in the fifth tradition. And like we can sometimes loan money, but a group needs to stand on its own. And if a group is autonomous, a group should not be taking money from another group in order to facilitate their existence. What happens is that groups start relying on other groups. The autonomy of the group gets blurred. Now all the groups seem like the same group. There is no real, and what happens is like it became very incestuous. Because everybody's making the same meetings every single day. People know everything that's going. Like one thing I learned in recovery is that like, you know, I have transportation. Like I make meetings outside my area. Like I have no problems jumping in my car and driving 100 miles to Philadelphia just to get out of the area and to make a different meeting. And I believe that's essential for my recovery, that I don't just make the same meetings every day. So this is how I grew up. This is what I learned. Like I would go to area and the area chair was like running area. You know, like I didn't understand that like we have an upside down pyramid. Like the groups are at the top and world is at the bottom. Because the area chair was telling people what to do. Not realizing that like we have a ninth tradition that says, no, you serve us. You don't tell us what to do. We guide you. And it's not about telling people what to do. But like the groups create the service structure so they can focus in their hour and a half hour meeting on carrying the message in the way they carry the message. A group can't do H&I and PR and put on activities and have a convention and also focus on having a meeting. The group would clearly get diverted from its primary focus and the addict would surely die. And it says that all over our literature. So like I started to see like early in recovery, like all this stuff about like, you know, what not to do. My second home group was Tuesday night in Montclair, New Jersey. It was Take It or Leave It. And I was at that meeting for about a year. And, you know, there was a lot of clean time there and a lot of experience. And I learned a lot about structure. Last night we were in my home group, we were talking about the first tradition. And, like, one of the most important spiritual principles in the traditions that I understand is love. You know, if I go to a meeting, no matter how bomb of a speaker you get, if I walk in and I don't feel love, I don't really care. You know, like really, just the atmosphere of recovery. When I walk into a meeting and I'm not feeling like I belong here, you know, like there's something wrong with that. Like I left that home group real quick because like I don't really feel like I was a part of it. I tried. I didn't really feel like I was there. My third home group was I had about 2 years clean and I had moved on to sponsorship. And there was this guy, I wasn't hanging out with him, but like I watched him like serve Narcotics Anonymous. And like he was the type of guy, like we went to the same facility together, and like he was a white kid, he came in, he had like a do-rag on, he was wearing really baggy clothes, and then I didn't see him for like a year. All of a sudden his jeans got real tight, you know, he started wearing a baseball cap, he was wearing DCs, and like he was hanging out with like a bunch of people. And, like, I always knew him as, like, that player kind of dude, right? And then he had, like, female friends. And, like, I was like, I want that. I want to be able to have friends with women, and I don't want to fuck them. So, like, I asked him to sponsor me. I called him up, and I'm like, you know, you don't really know me,
but I watch what you do. I didn't say that, like, man, I see you hang out with all these girls you don't want to fuck. Like, how do you do that? I was like, you know, would you sponsor me? And he's like, it was deep for him because he didn't even know that. Like, sometimes, like, in NA, people are watching you. You don't even know they are. You know, like, sometimes we go through shit in NA. We'd be like, why is this happening to me? Not realizing it's happening for you. And not realizing that it's not necessarily happening for you, but it's happening to you because God knows you can handle it and knows that somebody else is watching you that looks up to you and sees that you can get through it clean to give them hope just to stay another day. So he was being set up to sponsor me. So I started attending this meeting on Friday night in Hawthorne, New Jersey. It was a candlelight meeting. You know, it was a strong home group, man. We used to have 20 people at the business meeting. And we'd be sitting there, like, talking about, like, I remember we had a speaker jam one time, you know. And, like, I learned about God. Like, God is in the business meeting. And this one group member was like, I'm going to share it because he said I could. He was like, we made $300 off this speaker jam. And he's like, we should get a podium like this and get an electronic basic text in it. So when speakers come, they can refer to it in the candlelight meeting. And then a home group member with, like, no clean time spoke up and said, like, God's got us. Donate it to the area. You know, like, that's not our money. People didn't come here to give money to the group. They came here because they love Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I learned a lot of money in that. I learned a lot of money. No, I learned a lot about service in that meeting. Like, I learned, like, you know, like, it talks about, like, what I read in the definition. Wow, 4 minutes. I guess I don't have a lot of time. So, okay, my home group now. So what happened was, I was at this home group, and I was there for a while, and I made a decision. I moved on in sponsorship. This guy took me through all 12 steps. He helped me a lot. You know, I'm very grateful. He made a decision to use. Oh, I have 15 minutes now. Only 15 minutes? No, I'm just kidding. That was a birthday present, right? So this guy guided me. He made a decision to use after 7.5 years clean. And he struggled to come in and out of the rooms. He came back, celebrated a year in November. On December 20th, I gave him a ride home. And I had caused a lot of harm to this man after I moved on in sponsorship. Like, I dated somebody that he dated. Despite, like, listening to what it talks about in the 10th step. When we get that, like, right, Will? The nagging feeling when something isn't quite right? We should stay in tune with the voice of our conscience and listen to it. The spiritual pain, Tim, the spiritual pain behind not listening to the God within us. Try to live with that for a year, driving up and down Route 95 to Philadelphia to go see somebody you know you shouldn't be seeing. And I got to make amends to this man, you know, sitting in that car. On New Year's Eve, we have a convention up in Jersey. It's a New Year's Eve convention. And I'm serving on the programming committee, and, like, you know, I'm running around, and, like, Chris and John, they're on the committee as well, and, like, they were there, and, like, you know, we get the call, like, Jared, we found Jared, and he's dead. You know, they found him dead in his apartment with unopened bags of dope. You know, he did one more. Nobody even knew he wanted to use. You know, I thank God for this home group, and, like, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, you know, I remember driving around with this guy, with Jarrett Kay, and coming to places like this and sitting up in the audience and watching him carry the message. And I'm thinking about, like, how I've been given this opportunity to carry the message in this capacity. You know, not that, like, you know, I've arrived somewhere, but this is an honor. you know, to be one day riding around on a girl's bike with a full facial beard, smelling so bad, you know you smell, you know, watching guys reach into their ball sack, pulling out Ziploc bags that had condensation from being under their ball sack all day, you know, pretty sure their activities weren't being monitored by the Food and Drug Administration. You know, like, this is the type of lifestyle I lived. And then, like, to be up here to carry the a message of recovery, not even my message. They said, come carry the NA message. We trust you. Really? Okay. So what happened was, is I was involved in area service. I was a chair. I was a vice chair. I was a policy chair. And, like, it talked about in the definition about, like, the origin. Like, my home group is my origin. It was by attending the business meeting that I learned that Narcotics Anonymous was more than the meeting. That there was this area service and regional service and zonal forums and subcommittees and, like, world service and, like, conventions. And, like, I got involved and I found, like, a place in area service. I'm not that guy that's going to badmouth area service because I love area service. In fact, I have area service on Sunday. I'm waking up and I'm driving back to Jersey to fulfill my last commitment as RCM for the last year, you know. But, like, some of us at area were like, we need a tradition meeting and a concept meeting in this area. Why? Because we got a shitload of step meetings. We got a shitload of just for today meetings, closed meetings, open meetings, speaker meetings. Why are there no tradition meetings? You know, I started to see that there was this unbalance in Narcotics Anonymous. That, like, the program is the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, but it seemed like people weren't really talking about the traditions. And I'm not talking about there weren't people talking about it, but it was like, why isn't everybody talking about it? Why is it that we just work steps and we don't work traditions? You know, why is it that there aren't more service-based meetings? You know, and so it took us 4 years to start this meeting. Meanwhile, I was still in Hawthorne at this meeting, but finally the week that my commitment was up at area, we got a facility. And it was started on April 15, 2010. We had our first business meeting. We came together. And the interesting thing is my home group has a very unique autonomy. And autonomy is a creative freedom to carry the message. It doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want to do. Because it says, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. So that doesn't mean that you could just do whatever you want. It talks about the spiritual principle of responsibility. It talks about the spiritual principle of anonymity. Anonymity in the fourth tradition means that there is no best home group. There is no best sponsor. No, that's your home group. We don't try to outdo each other. We read in the introduction, in the basic text. It's in the Roman numerals. Right, Joe? We must always remember that as individual members, groups, and service committees, we are not and should never be in competition with each other. You know, like, I see groups trying to outdo each other. You know, I don't want to be part of a group. I want to just be a group that does what it does. And accept that we only can do what we do. That's humility in a group. Just saying, we meet Thursday night. I mean, we just meet Thursday night. How can we carry the message to addicts in Maryland or D.C.? So just to have reality set in, right? So what we do at my home group is after the speaker shares, we break up into small groups. And the reason for doing this is that what I've come to find out is that newcomers are actually the people who are most malleable and easily, not influenced, but the most easily intrigued by new ideas. As versus somebody who's been here a while who may not be open to something new. So what we found is by having the small groups, like in a tradition meeting, it could be intimidating sometimes. Because if you have a lot of information, you might make someone feel like they don't have anything to say. So what we do is we break up into small groups and we talk to the newcomers. We say simple shit. Do you have a home group? See, sometimes we be like talking about like tradition 11, be talking about how like, or sixth tradition, you know, my opinion about signing papers is like, you know, surveillance and like all this. And we start going deep, not realizing that we bypass the simple shit. Like asking a newcomer, do you have a home group? And almost 90% of the time, people say, what's a home group?
don't even know, don't even understand the importance and the benefits of a home group. Right? A home group is where I was loved. And where people fanned the flame, where I could go, and like if I didn't show up, somebody would call me and say, "Where are you?" You know, I have a home group. It's my home. And my sponsor always talks about it. He says, home is a feeling, not a place. You know, so if I walk in and like I have a home group because it's the place to be, then I'm missing the whole point. I go to a home group, even if there's nobody there, because Susie will tell you, home group member right there. There were days it would be the summer, hot, no AC, and four of us sitting there, only home group members, in a tradition and concept meeting, on a Sunday, on a Thursday night, where everyone wanted to go to the spot, you know, because everyone else was there. But you see, it didn't matter to me how many people were there, because even with those three other people there, I felt love like I felt nowhere else. And I believe it's as a result my home group is growing because of what we started with. A home starts with a heart. It doesn't start with, you know, like trying to be the best. It starts with love. And so we started with one addict at a time. You know, and like, you know, we had some really cool ideas. Like we reviewed the social media pamphlet together as a group and we submitted information to NAWS, and actually some of it made it into the pamphlet. And it was cool because there's some newer home group members who don't understand like that you, that like even in a business meeting, you can impact all of NA and the entire world without even leaving the table of the business meeting. You know, so from, you know, Passaic, New Jersey. Like in New Jersey, we have this thing called the 8 suggestions. They're on the back of our statewide meeting list. You know, and like we made a motion in my home group to add a 9th suggestion to the back of the statewide meeting list, which was called Get Involved in Service. That motion made it from my home group to area in Passaic County, to region in Northern New Jersey region, to the region in South Jersey called New Jersey region, to every single home group in New Jersey. Just out of one business meeting, out of 6 people. And there were people there with 90 days. Do you know what it must have felt like for somebody with 90 days to see, to go to a meeting somewhere else and hear that and know, not saying, yeah, my home group did that, yeah. You know, because if people find out, it doesn't count. You know, so the silence service of like sitting there and like knowing that you had an impact in a small way in NA. You know, because ultimately it wasn't us, it was God that saw it fit to go through New Jersey. Because the benefit is that like, the deep part is we recognize as a group the importance, like newcomers, they don't even understand that the 8 suggestions is a New Jersey thing. They be like, they celebrate in New Jersey, we celebrate for a week. You pick up your key tag, you share how it works. They're like, I follow the 8 suggestions to the best of my ability. So we were saying, how can we get people to be involved in service? Well, if we add it to the statewide meeting list, then they're going to have to share they follow all 9 suggestions to the best of their ability. That means they got to have some kind of service commitment. And so we manipulated the system a little bit, I don't know. But you know, like it was deep. So like, my sponsor started making meetings in like other areas, like this other area in like Northwest New Jersey. And he started bringing people to the meeting, like new guys. And there was this one kid, he had just got out of prison, and he would come and sit at the table every day. And we read out if it works, how and why. And every week I would come over to him and I would drop a book on his table. He's like, nah, I'm good. I don't need the book. And like, after a while, he started taking the book and he started reading from it. You know, and like, I watched this guy, like, you know, grow in service and recovery. And like, one day I turned to him and I said, why don't you come to the convention committee that I serve on in Bergen County? Because I don't just serve one area. Like, I serve wherever NA is. And like, today, like, this guy is the programming chair for the committee. And he brought his girlfriend at the time, and now she's secretary. And, like, she brought her friend. And, like, now like, it's deep because, like, my home group, like, served as a vehicle for, like, moving all these people who are service-oriented to serve on this convention committee that are, like, from all over. It's no longer, like, an area convention. It's, like, a much bigger thing. It's, it's a New Year's Eve convention. It's not even associated. It's crazy how this thing has worked in my recovery, you know, and You know, one last thing before I shut it down is, you know, for a while, like, I did service in NA and, like I missed something somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was. I think it was the love part, and the attraction rather than promotion, and the living by example. For a long time, and I don't know if somebody still believes this, but for a long time, I felt as if the literature was the way, and that if you spoke outside the literature or misquoted something, that you were wrong, and we were going to go to battle over it. And see, like it talks about in the sixth step, in the Works How and Why, it says, take a defect such as self-righteousness, for example, and imagine its normal, uninflated state. Confident belief in one's own values. Strong, confident, and well-rounded people have formed values and principles to live by and believe deeply in their rightness. Such people live what they believe and share those beliefs with others in a non-critical way when asked. See, I don't do that. That's not me. Not when I'm diseased up. It's, you will believe what I believe. I will argue with you until you hate me. And, you know, until the point where you just don't even want to talk to me anymore. And what I started to realize is that I had nobody in my life. And who wants to be around somebody that has all the answers? He says a new idea cannot be grafted on a closed mind. Narcotics Anonymous is a lifelong process. There's no person who has all the information on traditions. And what happened was is I became a somebody in an anonymous program based off the traditions. But the thing is, I had no social skills. So you could come over to me, and people used to call me up and be like, Danny, oh my God, you should hear what happened at this business meeting. Oh my God, and where does it say this on what page? And like, even if I found it, does that mean that's the right way? Was I there? Did I see how it went down? And it says in Works How and Why, the book seeks to explore the spiritual principles within the traditions. Engage the members with the spirit, not the law. So this is not, this. See, I was approaching this as if this was like the law. And if you were, if you shared, like, how could you say that? That's not in the literature. You know, but not realizing that we wrote this. And you know, and like, we can change it. We come out with new books all the time. You know, why? Because we get more information about the disease. My understanding of the disease of addiction, how it operates in my life, is much deeper than it was when I got here. Question number 41 in step one, bullet number 41. In step one, I didn't even realize how deep. This question explains everything about why it is that I do what I do. Did I take drugs or act out of my addiction to change or suppress my feelings? What was I trying to change or suppress? And the question is not, did I? It's, what did I do and why did I do it? And that's how my life has gone. My life is a constant 10-step, a constant 8-step, all the steps, constantly looking at how the disease is trying to take my soul. And it's got, you know, it's got everything to do with drugs, but it's not only about drugs. Using is always the most obvious symptom for this addict. But I've been clean 8.5 years. If I'm just still looking at the obvious symptom and ignoring everything else, my life is fucked up. And I'm going to my home group and sharing for effect. But when I share to the point of embarrassment, I get the help that I need. You know? So what I got in touch with is that the message is meaningless unless we live it. As we live it, our lives and actions give it more meaning than our words and literature ever could. It says that in the 12th step in the basic text. My friend Brian A. from Raleigh always shares about that. And what I understand is that, like, you know what it talks about in the fourth concept. We should always remember that NA leaders are not only those we vote into office. Opportunities for self-service arise wherever we turn in Narcotics Anonymous. NA members exercise personal leadership by helping cleaning up after a meeting, taking extra care to welcome newcomers to our fellowship, and in countless other ways. As recovering addicts, any one of us can fulfill a leadership role, providing a sound example by serving our fellowship. You know, so what I understand is that I always had a trusted servant position. And it's interesting how, like I'm sponsoring, I sponsor the two men who found my old sponsor dead. I wasn't sponsoring them when they found him. And through this process, they've been attracted to something in my recovery. And they're not my sponsees. I sponsor them. You know, it's a two-way street. But it's deep how, I have an opportunity to invest what I got from Jarrett and now give it to these two men who found him dead. They don't even know what he did for my recovery. You know, now I'm sponsoring 10 men, whereas I was always that guy that had, I could be really good as a policy chair, but I couldn't talk to you one-on-one. And so now understanding that, I'm no longer that guy, and I no longer need to be right, and I could just understand my role, God has put me in a position. The assignment is different now. I have one trusted servant position, you know, but I'm a leader. And one of the things that we're talking about now in Narcotics Anonymous is something that we desperately need. And I believe it's something that's going to become important, and it's called mentorship. And it's about mentoring people into service. Not necessarily sponsees, but people that we could teach service to. How many times have you seen a GSR voted in that does not have the clean time requirement, that has no idea what they're doing, and we just drop people into service, and they're like, what is going on? You know? We do a disservice. And rightly so, NA is huge. You know, I believe that, I can do a good job doing a commitment, but my home group has shown me something. We have this one kid, he has 6 months clean, and watching this guy's eyes light up. He's been at area since he had a week clean. We just voted him in as GSRA yesterday. He is so excited to go to area service. He is so excited to learn. This guy made up flyers. We made a sign so people could find the meeting. And what I understand is I have a better shot of teaching 10 people how to serve NA that could sponsor 10 other people and make 100 people that could do a commitment real well, rather than me taking a commitment and doing a good job at it. So my whole thing in NA is completely different now. I no longer want to be that guy. I would rather be somebody behind the scenes, living in silent service, staying at my home group, and fanning the flame of desire of service and home group in another recovering person. What? To make it for our common welfare. You know, the basis of my spiritual foundation is how good your recovery is. So at my home group, we have this thing, what step you on? You write in steps? You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to love each other and care for each other. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.